Have any of you noticed something like this? That when you hear an E, it somehow sounds like it's a third above the C, even though you haven't played a C that day. Guitarists, you would have noticed a C sharp as having a relationship with the A, even though you haven't heard the A. Someone plays you a C sharp, it just feels like it's a third above the A, even though it's the only note you've heard that day so far. Have any of you experienced anything like this? This is a very common aural illusion that we call absolute relative pitch. It means when you hear that E, you know it's an E right away, but you think that you know the E because it's above the C. But you haven't heard a C yet. All the E's you're hearing feel like they're above a C. Have any of you had this experience? It could happen with any tone. It could happen with the G. You feel it's a fifth above the C. Any tone could have a feeling of a relationship with another tone, and you think you're knowing that tone due to the relationship, but you haven't heard the other tone yet. I'm sure many of you are having this experience by now, this illusion of absolute relative pitch. What this means is we're starting to get to a phase transition in our ear training. The relative pitch relationship feeling and the color hearing are starting to become mixed. You're thinking that you're identifying the tone with relative pitch, but how can it be through relative pitch? You never heard the C. The relative pitch feeling is merging with the color hearing. This is absolute relative pitch. Later on, this is going to drop off as we continue with our exercises, because in phase two, we're going to find that all these feelings of relationship break down so that when you hear the E, it sounds just like an E. It doesn't even have a feeling of being related to any other tone. In the beginning, when we first listen to our tones, our F sharp and our E flat, you could hear that there is some difference to these tones. The F sharp has that twangy quality, and the E flat has that mellow quality. You could hear those slight differences, but you couldn't identify the tones. If I then asked you which one is an F sharp, you may not have been able to tell me if that was the first tone that you heard that day. So you could hear a difference slightly, but you were not able yet to discriminate those differences. Of course not. That would be perfect pitch. So in order to pass all your drills so far, you have been relying on relative pitch because you don't hear the colors that distinctly. So in the beginning, we're using 100% relative pitch. Later on, we're using maybe 90% relative pitch and 10% perfect pitch. Then later it becomes 50-50, then 40% relative pitch and 60% perfect pitch. See, this is what we're getting up to now. When you start to notice a tone, oh, that's a G because I feel it wants to go to the C. When you start to notice these absolute relative pitch feelings, then you know that your relative pitch and your perfect pitch are about 50-50 at that point. Now, if you're not having this experience of absolute relative pitch, don't worry. This will start to happen to you as we continue our exercises. But I think about now, many of you are starting to have this experience. See, what's helpful for the development of perfect pitch is relative pitch. Relative pitch tricks our ear into relaxing so that we can hear the color. The ear has to grasp onto something in order to get the tones. So if it can't get the colors, it goes after the relationship. And you think you're only doing it by relationship, drill after drill after drill, but something is happening underneath the surface. And when the color hearing starts to peep its head up, it's like a seed that was buried there in the soil. And when it starts to peep its head up above the surface, your feeling of relationship becomes mixed with a feeling of color. Actually, color is not much of a feeling. It's just starting to emerge at this point. So we have seemingly contradictory points here. On one hand, we're saying relative pitch is helpful for developing perfect pitch. That's one thing. Relative pitch is certainly helpful. But relative pitch will never become perfect pitch. They're completely different abilities. The feeling of relationship is never going to turn into a feeling of color. It's a completely distinct level of experience. And perfect pitch doesn't depend on relative pitch. But going back to our contradictory point, relative pitch is helpful for developing perfect pitch. Relative pitch will never become perfect pitch. Perfect pitch doesn't depend on relative pitch, but relative pitch is absolutely helpful for developing perfect pitch because in the beginning, we're doing it all by relative pitch. If you don't have some degree of relative pitch, it will be very difficult to develop perfect pitch. So this is why if anybody has any difficulty with the perfect pitch ear training, we always recommend that they go to the relative pitch training. This will be the key secret if anybody has any difficulties at all. When we study relative pitch, then you find that all the perfect pitch difficulties that you might have been experiencing, they evaporate because the ear becomes cultured on that level. And the surface level is our entry point into gaining the deeper level of color perception. It's very hard for us to know how much relative pitch we're using at any particular time. We're not concerned. We just listen to the color of the tones even when we're using relative pitch. If I know that this is a B, because it feels like it wants to go up to C, I don't identify the tone too hastily. I let my ear soak into that color sound. I listen to the sound with interest, with awareness, with consciousness. So I feel that sound of the B. This is our perfect pitch ear training. So listen for color of the tones, even if you're not sure what the color is. Listen with attentiveness. So now we come to our solo keyboard drills, and this time our team players are going to join our solo keyboardists for the first time. Now we're going to study our black tones. This makes a very nice sound, the pentatonic scale. This is our five-tone scale. Pent means five. And we have five tones. It's an oriental sound. You hear this sound a lot in oriental kinds of music, so you'll enjoy using this pentatonic scale. Now, when we're adding the black tones, I really mean all the tones that we haven't used in our C major scale. If you're a sax player, for example, and your instrument is in E flat, then you'll still be adding the same tones, C sharp, F sharp, E flat, A flat, and B flat. But of course, your tones will not match the pitches of the black tones on the piano. So we're just adding the five tones that we did not use so far. That's what I mean when I say black tones. And I'm calling these tones C sharp and F sharp and E flat, A flat, and B flat. This is just my own personal way I like to call these tones. You can call them whatever you want. To me, the C sharp and the F sharp have that brilliant quality. And the E flat, A flat, and B flat, they have that more soft kind of feel to them. So you can call them whatever you want. Now you can do your black tones in the same way that you've studied all your white tones. You can do singles, doubles, and triples. This is going to be all on your own. Just spend some time here. You already know what to do. You can play your black singles, reach out, play any black tone, identify it. Or if you're doing team players, then one of you will play the tone. and the other will identify it. It's all what you've already done before. So you can do black singles, black doubles. You can even do loose doubles at first. And we do black doubles harmonically, one hand. We do them harmonically wide. We do black doubles ascending, melodic, descending melodic, and triples. You know what to do. We've already done all this. Just work your black tones the way you know how, master them, and when you've learned your black tones in this way, then the trick is how we're going to combine the white tones with the black. There's a very systematic way we're going to be doing this. We'll discuss this later in session 14. Okay, so for our solo guitarists now, your drills are a bit easier to explain. What we're going to do this time is switch from our A string to our D string. Hear the tone on the string, then any note and identify. C sharp, back to the tone, listen, any note, identify, G. The same way you did it with your A string. And when you've mastered the D string in this way, then we have a very interesting and rather clever way that we're going to work our strings that I think you're going to enjoy. This will push your ear into crystallized perfect pitch. Master that D string first, and then we'll talk about that. And also complete your major chords, just like you did in the last session. This time we'll use F sharp, G sharp, and A sharp major chords. That's your assignment. These drills are absolutely marvelous. I'm so pleased with them. During phase one, our color awareness has been growing all underneath the surface, just like that seed sprouts underneath. All the growth is unseen, but it's starting to be seen now. It was a very crucial beginning, all this phase one. Only now can we start to appreciate it. When you go from session to session in our phase two, you're going to see an elegant simplicity to the progression of the exercises. Already, I'm sure you're feeling the effects of all this listening you've accomplished so far. Your ear is not the same as when we first started. Now your ear is almost thoroughly prepared. You're quite ready. All the exercises we've done, all the way back to our colored crayons, these have all prepared you well. Now you have only to complete this last phase one session, and you're ready for phase two, where we'll crystallize our perception of pitch color and establish fully developed perfect pitch. So work on all your drills, pass all your verification rounds. For our next session, be sure to bring your instrument or be able to sit at your keyboard for our inner ear meditation. See you then on phase two. See, there's many different levels of hearing. If I take this chord, there's a lot of data in that chord which we're trying to pick up by ear. Now, on the very surface level, see, there's these levels. It's not one-dimensional hearing. There are many levels of hearing. On the surface of perception, what's the first thing we hear in this chord? Well, it's a piano. It has the timbre of a piano. That's the most obvious thing. Anybody off the street can tell you a piano's playing. Now, if we go into the chord a little bit more, what else can we get out of there? What can we extract from this one sound? Well, there are three tones playing. You know, a lot of people can't tell that. They hear a chord, but they don't know how many tones are playing. So if you can hear that, then that's an even more trained ear. But we can go down there further. What else can we extract in this one sound? See, it's one sound, but there's many pieces of data. Well, the next thing is, those tones stack up in such a way that it produces a major chord. This is what relative pitch tells us. We have a major chord. It's not minor. It's not diminished. It's not augmented. It's major. That's relative pitch.
But we can go further than this. What is the actual chord itself? Well, it's D major. That's the absolute pitch. It gives us the actual color pattern. D, F sharp, A. And then we can go further with perfect pitch, because if we can hear the D major chord on a synthesizer or on a foreign instrument that we're not used to hearing, then that's universal color discrimination. So there's many, many levels of training the ear's awareness. And at every stage, the ear hears more and more and more. It enjoys more and more and more. And it's able to do more and more and more. Now, the absolute pitch is the charm of the musical perception. The relative pitch is the intellectual understanding of the music. But they're both necessary. I've said it many, many times. The ear is four times as powerful with both of these abilities as with either one of them separately. The relative pitch gives the interest, the flow of the music. Absolute pitch is not enough. Absolute pitch gives the beautiful color discrimination, the fascination of the music. But we've got to have that color awareness be put into the context of a total musical picture. And this is what happens with relative pitch. Now, relative pitch is not a delicate perception. Perfect pitch is delicate. Relative pitch is not delicate. It's, in a sense, easier, much easier to gain relative pitch than it is to gain perfect pitch, because we don't have to culture the ear so much. It's a matter of focusing the ear with the relative pitch. But it's still an art. It's quite an art, because we have to learn the speed recognition of the tones so that we can really understand what's going on in the music. We discussed that all in detail in the entire relative pitch course.